Portland neighborhood with the Willamette River is most exciting, and the improved connections to the central city is long awaited. With the City Council approval of the South Portland Circulation Study in 2001, after 25 years of work, nothing has occurred until this process began to realize implementation of parts of the study. These areas are close to the central city and have great potential to bring residents and businesses here with minimal investments. I strongly urge the city to update the transportation system plan to include these recommendations so we may begin funding and implementing the projects. This proposal will help the North McAdam District to succeed and restore the vitality to the surrounding existing and historical parts of our neighborhood. We can successfully have the newest of development exist with the most historic parts of Portland and once again be one united neighborhood. Thank you.
I'm not coming to speak against the plan or the work. I'm going to tell you the numbers are all wrong. And what you're adopting, there is no basis in reality that will ever be funded. The need for $18 million, if you look at page 7.3 of section of chapter 8, has a whole list of projects, and it has estimated district shares of funding and financing. That would add up to either Zidell or OHSU coming up with about $81 million, maybe some people in the North District. I was on the first transportation impact fee with Steve Pfeiffer, and when we adopted it in 97, and it was $100 million, and it was a great success. You know, and we leveraged a lot of money. This is not the same project, and this is not the same funding scheme. According to the numbers up there, 1,800,000 square feet of building has to be built to break even to pay back the $10 million that's supposed to back the light rail bond. Now, do we see that happening before the city's obligated to pay the $10 million, or is the city going to have to back the unfunded liability under the TSDC for the light rail bond? I'm on too many committees with too much information to discuss it all at council, but the numbers don't add up. And somebody needs to take a little bit closer look. I don't disagree that we need every one of these projects and more. The reason we cut them down was because, as a contractor, I knew we couldn't afford what we had on there. But the fact that adopting a TSDC that only tosses in $18 million and $10 million came in at the 11th hour as an offset, so we only have $8 million in TSDC. And on 7.3, we're looking at $81 million in district share. Number T13, I didn't find out till last week, was a streetcar that they expect Zidell and OHSU to sign an LID that's critical to the light rail crossing. So there's more unanswered questions about the funding and financing and the structure of the deal than the fact that we need these roads and improvements. So I really understand it, but I don't think we really understand what we're adopting and going forward without some more information.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate your testimony. Don?
Hi, I'm Don Bach from Hillsdale. I'm speaking for Sweeney, Sweeney representative on this group. First of all, I want to commend Art and Catherine and their associates and consultants. They did an excellent job, as usual. This is the second time I've been involved with them, and they've done a fantastic job. The proposals were reasonable and balanced, and I support the thrust of both their efforts. I was struck, though, by the testimony from the Naturopathic College. My gut says we're going to have to take action there sooner than later. And I've got a couple specific things that are not going to cost you $1 million, and that is, let's reduce the speed limit on NATO and police it assiduously. Really police it. Drop it by, you know, from 40 to, it's effectively 50 now, to 25, and then extreme police escort or police presence, and it will drop to that level if you have that kind of police there. And that's just a quickie to look at. I passed out I want to be sure you all understand how the Red Electric ties to the pedestrian bridge in this area. Basically, coming out of Hillsdale, we got some funding, MTIP funding, to do the little connection. Hillsdale goes past Wilson High School on the south side through Himes Park and then connects to Slavin Road. We need some help from the city in terms of negotiating with the state on getting that bridge fixed, because we can't get across that bridge now with bikes or pedes safely. And this does tie in. It's in the project list of things that there's no money spent on it effectively, but it does show the connections. And we're really enthused about this because this brings a large part of Southwest very much into that South Portland area, and we're really enthused about it. Thank you.
Mayor, may I ask a couple of questions of this panel?
Sure.
I know we want to move on, but Mr. Durgan, you're here as Anderson Construction, Seidel, or both?
Seidel. I would be the same as Gertie Needling working for OHSU.
Okay. I just want to make sure. And you were a member of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee?
I've been on a member of every committee in South Waterfront since 2003.
Every committee.
November 2003.
Were you on the tram committee?
I was on the CAC tram committee, and I audited the
God bless you.
and understand why we're in this mess.
Didn't. I think Mr. Seidel actually made a contribution to the tram on the design component and the charrette. But so, Mike, you said that there's some questions that you have that are not answered to your satisfaction, although you also said you support the need for the additional revenues to meet these infrastructure improvements. So, I mean, what are some of the questions you have? We don't have.
What I'm saying is, if you look at 7.3, you have $157 million in projects that have to be done by 2012. Of that, it says estimated share for the district. I did some rough numbers. That's $81 million that have to come out of the district property owners on top of the other fees that we pay to the city in order to fund this. And then looks like $75 million has to come from the taxpayers, the state, federal stimulus funding to make this district work. You are saying that we're going to create, that those of us that need to develop down there in order to create the TIF can come up with all the overlays, all the exactions, some LIDs that are implicit, not in this form, but are implicit in some other committees that I'm on. And we'll come up with $81 million and pay $18 million, and this thing's going to work. What I'm suggesting is that when you ask Geraldine about tax increment financing, that's based on current buildings. That doesn't mean there's going to be another 1,830,000 feet built in order to get $10 million worth of traffic impact fee in 2016 when you owe the bond on the light rail crossing.
I get that. So just one other question I want to ask you.
Work that way.
I asked the mayor this question earlier, and he gave an answer that there's a priority list, and if there isn't enough money, then you don't go as deep down to the list. So I get that in terms of transportation priorities. Is your concern that there'll be some other ask if the projections are not don't pan out, the economy doesn't rebound? Is it your concern that there'll be other asks to make up the difference?
I think that's implicit in the proposal. What Art has presented to City Council is that without the funding sources that are outlined in this agreement, and this agreement says we owe $81 million in order to build the district, we might have to come up with even more money.
And the fact that there's a commitment that there'll be no new LID to backfill any needs on light rail, at least on that issue, doesn't give you any satisfaction?
That is a very narrow and specific statement about that LID. There's other things associated with light rail on this list that needs to be funded somewhere as part of making this project work. So it doesn't say that light rail streetcar doesn't have a $15 million line item that shows up in another committee as an LID that's going to be ZRZ and OHSU's responsibility. It doesn't, and there's bond, Moody, cost sharing for the property owners that
And we have never, this is just but one funding source, as you know, Bob, to a variety of projects, and an important one, because we're able to bond SDC funds, so we don't have to have anything necessarily due on 20-whatever date you said, I forgot. But SDCs are just but one funding opportunity. What I've committed to you, as you know, and to your owner, is that we're not going to go back for an LID for the remaining $20 million that the city has to come up with from Milwaukee Light Rail to TriMet. We're working very cooperatively with OHSU. We're working with the state to have different funds, coming up with a variety of other approaches to funding what I call the knitting, the $30 million knitting, for making light rail work within the district. So the presentation made no promises beyond the narrow commitment that I talked about. And no, you can't fund the entire district on SDCs. You just can't.
We don't disagree that what I'm trying to make clear is that I understand that you can borrow against SDCs. So if you don't have $10 million in the pot, whenever this bond comes due, the city backs that out of SDC.
We manage our SDC bonds on a citywide basis, so we'll be okay.
So there doesn't have to be any money there, and there is no payback on lost interest on a carryover to the district by not being able to back to the city.
We're able to, on SDCs, we manage our SDC funds and bonds in the most economical, cost-efficient manner, and that is on a citywide basis. So it's not like the cash flow within this district is self-contained and can't do anything.
But the $10 million out of this is specific to this district.
What I'm telling you is we manage our SDC funds and bonding on a citywide basis. Believe me, we know about this. We've got a AAA bond rating for a reason. Our debt shop is very, very experienced at this. We wouldn't move forward with this and put the taxpayer at any sort of risk. Don?
I think I got a little bit of time left since I was real brief. In regards to the bonding, and that was the other question I had actually written down, I don't think the citizens understand the bonding system you guys use. I think it would be really helpful to give us... but that's the point. It would really be helpful if you could do a white paper for us and publish how this bonding system works, what our limits are, when do we get close to a AAA or AA or whatever, you know. And so we understand when you guys are making decisions, we're just going to bond it.
Well, it's a good day you would ask that, because an audit came out today from the auditor's shop, which is, I think, right, you can get a copy right up on the third floor that's on the issue of bonding and debt.
Thank you.
I appreciate this discussion, but I'd really like to focus on the issue before us.
So anything else from the council for this group? Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. I think that concludes all of our testimony. Staff, do you want to come up and fill in on or correct my answers on the dialogue with Bob?
Sure.
So I think probably it's appropriate for me to start talking generally about the broad assumptions we made in the funding strategy. So what we were looking at is we looked at the characteristics of the projects, looked at the characteristics of the funding sources, and created some ranges that seemed appropriate of what might be appropriate for a different individual funding source to contribute towards the array of projects. Essentially, we're not trying to explain the exact funding package for every project by those ranges. We've pulled back up to the funding source level. And so we've anticipated that there's the need for the SDC of $18 million. There's also the need for a future LID of somewhere in the range, actually in front of me is percentages, but let's see, of $12 to $20 million. So that could be, that's again over 20 years over the entirety of the district, not just the North District. We also have anticipated that there's a need for an additional cost to private development other than an LID mechanism of maybe $10 to $15 million. So there are additional costs to private development other than the SDC. The SDC is a mechanism that we can place out there and use to leverage outside grant sources. But this is not the end of what we expect for the need of contribution from private development. But that private development is able to help leverage all these outside sources and make all the projects whole. So we don't know yet which project will be the best suited for a future LID or a future contribution from the development community, but we wanted to lay out those ranges to make sure that everyone was clear that here's the amounts we're expecting from different sources, including laying out some amounts that would be needed from state sources or federal grants as well. So trying to make sure that the target is clear as we move forward.
Does council wish any more clarification on this issue?
No.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. All right. I think that gets us to looking at body language up here. I think that gets us to, we have a resolution on 385, an emergency ordinance on 388. Unless I hear otherwise, Carla, can you please call the roll on the resolution 387?
Ish.
Well, I appreciate the staff presentation for its clarity and its directness. This is the second or third time today we've had a matter before us where there's been a community process that's gone for a period of time. I think this morning there was a three-year process culminating in a new fountain to honor Bill Nadeau in the park, and this is a two-year process with a comprehensive group of stakeholders. Again, I have, in my limited tenure on this body, come to appreciate the Portland way of doing planning, and it is time-consuming, and it is participatory, and the key question for us is, has everyone been heard? Has there been a chance for people to weigh in? And then we sort of screen at these moments to see whether there's something that's egregiously wrong, but otherwise we're asked to bless this process and move it on. I'm satisfied from what I've heard that I have enough information to cast an informed vote. I appreciate the dialogue on some of the questions about projections and the economy and what it is to impose new fees and taxes during a down economy, and does it serve as a deterrent, and are projections valid. But overall, I am comfortable supporting this, and I just have to say as a document and as a piece of work, I think it's superb. So thank you, and thanks to the community stakeholders who have taken time to come out. And I'm dying to ask our friends from the college whether they see any of us as candidates for some alternative medical intervention or experimentation.
You're presuming some of us don't subject ourselves given to that already.
Given the month we've had here, I think we would all benefit from an intervention with some treatment of sleep, medication, yes, and therapy, quite honestly.
But
yes.
Thank you.
We're afraid to cross the road.
You don't have to wait that long. Get your car.
I'm afraid you might do a civil hold. But I want to thank everybody. I appreciate the dialogue with Bob Durgan, and I'm sure we'll continue that dialogue. And I think I have enough information to cast an informed vote. And thank you, Mayor Adams, for your leadership on this. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I too appreciate the people who participated in this and the staff who worked on this. It's a very thorough document, and pleased to support it. Aye.
Leonard?
Well, it's really fascinating to me, having arrived on the council before ground broke at South Waterfront, hearing these arguments early on, and now actually participating in the various stages as we reach them. So I greatly appreciate the amount of work balance that the staff brought to this, and particularly it's refreshing to have people coming overall testifying in favor of this as opposed to early on when we were considering some of these issues. So I agree with everything that was said before me, and I appreciate greatly the work, and I'm really happy to support it. Aye.
Fritz.
Very good staff work. Thank you. It was really nice of the National College of Natural Medicine to come down in force and tell us about your program and to advocate for Portland and the way it's going to be developing, and to express your support for this. So thank you. Thank you for the folks from Southwest Neighborhoods and the South Portland, formerly known as Corbett Terwilliger-Lair Hill, Lee Bueller and Bill Donneman, and good to hear that Ken Love is in favor, and of course Don Bach. These are some of the citizen experts who have followed this process since before development started, and who would certainly be letting us know if they felt there were any concerns. And so I really appreciate you taking the time to come down during the day to let us know that you support this. I'm particularly pleased to see the estimate of funding and the prioritization of the projects. That's a new, and I want to commend Mayor Adams for leading the charge on that and making sure that we are more aware of what it is we're approving, what order we want it to have, and starting to develop the funding strategy while still recognizing that at this point we can't promise particular funding from particular sources. So nice job. Aye.
Adams?
I mentioned the PDOT team. I want to acknowledge the Portland Development Commission as well and the great partnership there. Sumner, Allen, planning, everyone else who's been a part of this. Again, the stakeholder groups, the ex officio members, the technical advisory committee, the consultant staff. This has been a hard project, and you made it today look rather easy, and that's pretty remarkable. Aye. It is approved. That moves us to the 3 o'clock time certain.
3-8.
Oh, we got to do roll call on 3-8. Thank you. This is an emergency.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 3-8 is approved. Could you please read the titles 389 through 392, and we'll take them as a group.
389, authorize a grant to Centennial School District for $3,150 for the support of the re-engagement of disconnected youth to educational opportunities. 390, authorize a grant to David Douglas School District for $7,650 for the support of the re-engagement of disconnected youth to educational opportunities. 391, authorize a grant to Park Grove School District for $2,500 for the support of the re-engagement of disconnected youth to educational opportunities. 392, authorize a grant to Portland Public School District 1J for $60,000 for the support of the re-engagement of disconnected youth to educational opportunities.
So I'm very pleased today to introduce this package of four council items that represent and memorialize the great partnership between the City of Portland and the school districts that exist across the city. And I'd ask Jay Names, who's and Megan, come on up. I was going to ask Jane Ames to provide an overview of why we're here today, and then allow each of you to make some brief comments about what exactly you're doing with your specific partnership, and we'll get you out the door. Thanks for waiting.
Okay. Jane Ames, I'm a education strategies coordinator in Mayor Adams' office, and this is I'm just so pleased to be associated with this effort. This is, I want you to know you're all voting on a the end of a conspiracy today. It was the Advent conspiracy that the communities of faith came together, and during the holiday season and afterwards because of the storms, they gave some of their giving, their financial giving to the City of Portland to help with two efforts that Jay chose. One was to help re-engage families or keep families in their homes that were facing homelessness, and the other were all the folks that you see here today, which represent five of our districts in the city that are working hard to keep youth engaged in school, and in this case, to re-engage those youth that have left school. So I want to say thank you to Megan Palau, representing the communities of faith, who's right here with us. And then I would like to introduce the people from the districts here, and they will speak to you briefly about their efforts. Jamie Juneman, who is the principal of the Centennial Learning Center, Jamie, and Barb Keenley, who is a director of student services in Portland, which is not in Portland, but in the city of Portland, David Douglas Schools, and Jenny Villano, who is the Director of Education Options in Portland Public Schools, and Tim Goforth, who is the principal of Reynolds Learning Academy, which is located in Fairview and is in the Reynolds School District. Park Rose District could not join us today. The person who was going to make the presentation had a death in the family, but they called and wanted us to be sure to say how grateful and excited they are to be able to have the funds. So I run these people to briefly tell you about their programs and that.
Yeah. And then would ask, so you're prepared to ask you to make the sort of summary concluding remarks, Megan. So, Jamie, why don't we start with you?
Great, thank you. We want to thank, of course, the city and the Palau Foundation. The Centennial Learning Center is seeking to use the money to reconnect dropout youth through an extension of the Expanded Options Program, which looked to provide college opportunities for students who had dropped out from school. One of the things that we know is that students who have dropped out are often very close to graduating, but they don't want to necessarily come back and repeat something that they failed at before. So our work will be to connect students who have dropped out from school with a plan that gets them enrolled in college and then backfills the credits that they're short from high school. We've had some really great success with this in the recent past and are looking to expand it, and are also using this grant as part of leverage and a partnership with other granting agencies to continue the work.
Great, fantastic.
Yes, I'm Tim Goforth. I'd like to thank the City of Portland and the Palau Association for the grant that they have given us the opportunity to increase our services to the students that have decided to leave school at one time or another. Currently, we started a new program this year, and we currently have 48 students that are 17 to 20 years old that have left school, and they're all holding jobs within the community, but due to that, they don't have the opportunity to come back to school or have chosen not to come back to school, and they're supporting their families or have young families of their own. Our school, they have the opportunity to earn a GED or to complete their high school credits because many of the students are very close to graduation, but life came along, especially during this time of hardship for many people. We plan to use this money to provide more one-on-one services for these kids so we can speed their academic success and move them on to Mount Hood Community College, where upon completion of a GED, they can earn 7 credits that they can take up at the college free of charge. And that is what we intend to do with the program, give these kids that chance. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I also want to thank the City of Portland and the Palau Foundation for the opportunity to have some money to be able to re-engage students. I had the opportunity this morning to visit with a young man named Antonio who had dropped out of school. He is successfully re-engaged in school in an alternative program. And when visiting with him this morning, I said, what would have made the big difference to have you re-engage in school sooner than the 2 years it did take you to come back and find an opportunity to continue your education? And one of the things that he shared really highlights how we plan to use the money, and that was, you know, I was able to walk away. Nobody did a real outreach for me, and it was really another mentor that in the community that got me back into school. So in David Douglas, we see a lot of those challenges with our students, with lack of mentors and caring adults that can help them stay engaged in school. So our opportunity that we're going to take with this grant is to designate a mentor in each of our middle schools and our high school that will reach out to students who have been 10, what we call 10-day'd. So after 10 days of non-attendance, we have to unenroll them in school. And so these adults that are already working in the school are going to play that mentor role, outreach to the students, contact their families, contact the students, find out what motivates them, and what can we entice them with to get them back in school? How do we make them feel part of that school community? What can we do to enhance their educational opportunity within our schools? So we're taking this opportunity to look at incentives for kids to get them to walk back in the door. And at the same time, we're looking at some of our own programs within our district about how can we provide real meaningful opportunities for kids that will teach them the life skills that we want them to be successful adults. So we're excited.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm really honored to be here representing the youth of Portland. As you well know, our mayor has committed to working towards decreasing the dropout rate in Portland. We all know that too many of our youth disengage from their education each year. For them, school wasn't working for any number of reasons, many of which they had no control. Every single one of those students, without exception, wanted to be successful in their education. They all had hopes for the future, but something got in the way. Most of these students have not given up on their hopes to complete high school and to go on to post-secondary options. In fact, most of them will make at least one attempt to re-engage in their education. Sadly, they usually choose to reengage at inopportune times. For instance, it may be too late in the term to earn credits, and they're told they can attend classes, but they won't get any grade or any credit. They may want to attend one of our education options or our alternative our community-based alternatives, but there's a waiting list, and they're told to hang on, and we'll get back with them. They might want to enroll just before the start of the next term, and they're told to come back in 3 weeks. Well, experience tells us that once a student disengages and tries to re-engage but fails, her next re-engagement will be even longer than her first. Students don't generally choose to come back to school at semester break. When they realize they want to continue their education, we must be ready to bring them back immediately with motivating opportunities. We cannot wait. So on March 30th, just a week and a half ago, after 6 months of intense planning, PPS opened the new Pilot Transition Center to provide immediate re-engagement opportunities for out-of-school youth. This center, located in a former unused shop classroom at Benson High School, has been remodeled and transformed into an educational environment that will assist students in continuing their education while identifying the school or the program that best fits their unique academic and social-emotional needs. Clear and simple enrollment procedures encourage a student and his family to meet with a transition specialist who will do credit evaluations and academic assessments that will lead to a short-term education plan that will be jointly developed. The very next day, the student will begin coursework online with support from highly qualified teachers who will be with him at the center. Our teachers also teach in our Alliance Knight High School program. While the student progresses in appropriate courses, he will also work with a transition specialist to explore the schools and programs that may meet his needs. Once the student and his family and the transition specialist have identified a best fit school, the transition plan is then implemented with the receiving school. Students will only remain at the center for less than one semester. All too often, when students randomly choose a school after they have previously dropped out, they end up in a placement that may not meet their needs. To assure that our students have the best chance for success, the transition specialist will follow each transition center student for the first semester, doing weekly check-ins with the student, family, and school, and the specialist will work to problem solve any potential barriers to their success. Portland Public Schools is reaching out to our youth who do not return to school. A team from Education Options makes personal phone calls to as many students as possible who we can identify and encourage them and their families to meet with us to consider the vast array of programs and schools available to them. In fact, Portland is recognized nationally for many diverse options for students to complete high school. We believe that the Transition Center fills the gap for students who are ready to re-engage in their education and want to do it right now. So as you can see, the Transition Center is not a destination. Rather, it's a gateway to students' future. The generous funding provided by the efforts of the Palau family and the communities of faith will allow us to use the first few months of this pilot to perfect the program and assure that all the processes and procedures are as flawless as possible and to work out the glitches that we have already identified in a short week and a half, as we prepare for increasing the number of students we can serve in the fall. Additionally, we can now purchase the technology necessary for the students to complete their coursework online. And finally, the Transition Center is being watched nationally because it is one of the first of its kind to provide immediate re-engagement for out-of-school youth. Philadelphia and Boston are collaborating with us as they plan to implement similar programs on the East Coast. Locally, we're committed to working with our neighboring districts to share our design in hopes that other centers may take away the barriers to students' re-engagement. I cannot express how much this funding may mean to the future of Portland's youth, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And what I did, and I'll give them to you afterwards, we made some note cards for you in Education Options with photos of our students.
Oh, great.
And so I have one for all of you and for the Plows and for the mayor's wonderful education staff. Again, I thank you so very, very much.
Well said. It's never been, spending your money has been fantastic. on such on such worthy causes. For those that are few that are tuning in right now, just to remind them, the Palau Foundation donated $100,000, was accepted by the City Council on March 11th, and this is the redistribution, as you wanted it, to try to reconnect with youth that have found themselves outside the systems of education and other institutions of society. So please, would like you to say a few words. You might have to scoot over a little bit to get near the microphone.
My name is Megan Palau. I'm with the Luis Palau Association, and it's great to be here with these folks. They had a chance to get acquainted with them, hear a little bit about their programs. It's really exciting. And do want to, again, make very clear, though, that we at the Palau Association are really a catalyst. It was the churches that really had the vision and passion for this. And we get to be a part of that and just facilitate this for them. So it's been an honor to work with many of the churches in the Portland area that have really wanted to express their love for the city through these schools. And it's exciting to see that the city is really going after this issue of dropouts. And I want to thank Jane Ames, Mayor's Office, who has really worked hard on this issue to facilitate these funds getting to where they need to be. Excited to hear about the stories in the coming year about how lives are changed and individuals are reconnected and getting educated and finding jobs and work and being successful in life. So we're honored to be a part of this. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? Matters?
No one else signed up.
Any additional discussion from the City Council? Then you will see us do rapid fire through four ordinances here, starting with Council Calendar Item 389.
Fish?
Since we have four, I guess we'll all give our comments on the first, but I hope no one feels slighted in the others. First of all, as the proud parent of a student in Portland Public Schools, thank you to all the educators here for what you do. My daughter's a sophomore, and it's been a great ride, and we have a five-year-old at home who's about to come up. So, again, thank you really for the great work you do in all of our districts. Second, I want to just thank Megan Palau and her brother Kevin and her father Luis and the whole team for the way they have partnered with the city. The season of service that was alluded to earlier is a beautiful expression, those are some of my favorite words. And the great part about the season of service is it's been launched, but it's not an annual, it's a perennial. And I think the thing that we often, as a community, feel is that why is it just on Thanksgiving, Christmas, 9, 12, you know, you can go down, you can go back, and why are they always just isolated days where we do good deeds? Why isn't it something that we approach every day? And I think the season of service helps point us in the direction of doing this 365 days a year. For the churches, it's the ability to put money, you know, in a basket on a Sunday to support kids. But for others, it may be getting in touch with Hands on Portland and volunteering. Or maybe it's mentoring a child. Or maybe it's reading in the schools through the Smart Reading Program or whatever. Everyone can make a difference, particularly during tough times. And so we don't have the resources to do everything we need to do. And this partnership with the faith community, in addition to all of other partners, is, I think, a wonderful new chapter. So thanks to the Plow organization and to all the other whatever, Jane. The Advent conspiracy members, thanks to you for what you do. And Mayor, thank you for framing this issue and for directing that a portion of this money would go to such a worthy cause. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I also want to thank the Palau organization and the Palau family for your leadership on this and each of the schools, districts, for what you're doing with this money. Each one of those approaches sounds very promising, and I hope they really are to reconnect youth and get them a high school degree or a GED. Good work. Aye.
Leonard?
Thank you, Megan, and your family for all that you've done, and it's great to hear all the school districts, but especially the district I live in, David Douglas. Nice to have you guys here. Thank you. Aye.
Fritz.
I echo that. It's delightful to have all five school districts recognized as part of Portland schools. And thank you all for being here, and to Parkhurst, who wasn't able to be here. Thank you to the Palau family, who for many years has just continued to, starting with the practical cleanup of the school grounds and now is stepping up to get more. And also want to recognize Jane Ames, who's such a leader and has been such a leader in the education community over so many years. Made a big difference to my three children going through the public schools, and indeed Mayor Adams and his former mentor, ongoing mentor, I'm sure, Mayor Katz, who this city has recognized our commitment to our public schools over decades, and we continue to hold that. So thank you for being here today. Aye.
Adams.
I've said my thanks. I mean it. More to come. Jane, I want to thank you and Reese and everyone working on transportation. Everyone working on education, for all your great work. I really appreciate it. Aye. 389 is approved. Please call the vote on 390 before Commissioner Leonard leaves.
Fish? Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 390 is approved. Please call the vote on 391.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 391 is approved. Please call the vote on 392.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Council is adjourned till next week.
Shoot, we have a ride over.
Yeah. We have room to take Amanda.
Questions, let me know what they are.
I haven't had any information.
Oh, yes. I don't know what that means.
Yes. Didn't you say you were going to bring me on it?
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm not sure.
Thank you.
Welcome. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
For young.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, by the end of the hour. Oh, then they got you.
Yes. Thanks so much for coming. Yes. You know, we're going to take you up on that very soon. And we're going to come and watch you.
Oh, we would love to have you.
Thanks so much. All right.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
Oh, the snacks that we spoke about?
Yes.
All right. I've got your impact stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Nice words.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You too. You have such enthusiasm. I love it.
Jenny, I got to run, so thank you.
Thank you. This was wonderful.
It was wonderful. Thank you for this.
And let me get you another set. I'll just work on another set.
Thank you. All right.